Hey everybody. Here. All right, let me just take over hosting privileges here.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Alexi. Let's see. Put that together. All right. Yeah, let me see if I. Right. All right, I'm just gonna make sure everyone's being the log. Okay, good. Okay, folks are logging in. Great. All right, I'll get started in a minute as we wait for you folks to either join in. All right. Okay, I'm going to share my screen. And I think we've got, just want to make sure we're, okay, everything's okay. We're recording. Things are looking good. Now I will share my screen. And all right. Okay. So, welcome to product owners meeting. We got a few special guests who will be speaking shortly. I want to at least bring up a few announcements and ask anyone else if they have any announcements as well. I guess the first announcement is that the Trillium release has been delayed. To be determined what the new date will be. Couple of reasons for the delay are we still need to solidify Sunflower. In some cases, some teams are managing three releases, Ramson, Sunflower, and Trillium to embark on Umbrella Leaf. Well, probably not the best thing to do. So the focus will be on solidifying, stabilizing Sunflower, solidifying, stabilizing Trillium. And once we have that, and so Alexi and others will work on a revised timeline for the Trillium release. Hopefully that'll be shortly. But those are the main reasons why there will be a delay. Any questions? Any questions? Since Alexi's on the call, he can probably answer far more than I can, but any questions, concerns, thoughts? Owen, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I guess that from the way you're talking about it, it sounds like it could be a substantial delay. Like, do we have an idea of whether we're talking weeks or months here?
Spring 2026.
Oh, right. Okay. So months. Okay. Thank you.
Alexi, when will you have a revised Trillium release timeline for groups to review?
I guess right now I'm preparing some wide message across the community just to notify everyone about this news. Yeah, so I guess a new date will be decided somewhere close to Christmas. Yeah, because first we need to start a Sunflower rollout, then we'll understand how much time it should take, right? So just to understand and also review the remaining effort for possible technical improvements that need to be done as part of Trillium. First, it's our upgrade to latest new version of Vertex 5. Second is our work for mod configuration decommission, right? So also a new scope that I talked about on our previous call. It's Spring Boot 4.0 and Spring 7.0. Yeah, so it's gonna to be out somewhere at the end of November, or maybe somewhere in November. So a particular day has not been announced by Spring community. So we still have plenty of defects right now on our backlog. So yeah, I guess I need some time to work with the teams. From what I like learned about Spring Boot, it should take from one to two sprints for each team, because in each team we've got different number of modules, Spring-based modules on their maintenance. That's why in some maybe a few days, in some cases maybe 1 week, in some cases whole sprint. For example, in Valaris it should take around two sprints.
So I guess I'm just gonna summarize it, Alexi. We don't know the date yet. We have some technical dependencies that still have yet to be, that we need to get estimates and an understanding of the work that it entails, including, I think, Vertex, which I think several teams are blocked on.
Correct.
And so you'll be providing that list, and with that list, working with the teams, and based on that, providing a revised timeline that we can all review and
Sure.
determine that kind of works for us. Okay, so that's summarizing it. But does anybody else have any questions or thoughts about Trillium? Okay. So more to come, and we'll find out more if Alexi will give us an idea of what the impact's going to be. If you have concerns or thoughts about this, please reach out to me, reach out to Alexi. We want to make sure that whatever is the revised timeline, supports all of us and all of our goals. Okay. Just a couple other things. Sunflower CSP number one, the module release date is this Friday. Then there will be testing, and so the GA date will be September 22nd. So at this point, if you haven't deployed your work into Sunflower Bugfest, it's not a part of this patch of CSP number one. It needs to be moved to CSP number two. Because it, in my mind, it's too late. So if it's not deployed, you haven't verified it, move it to Sunflower CSP 2. If you have concerns about that, please again reach out to myself or to Alexi about that. Sunflower CSP 2 is a TBD. Again, we'll wait for Alexi to kind of give us more details about that. Ramson CSP number six was released, so it's out there. And then there will most likely be a CSP number seven. I think there's still a few and some up there's still some P1s out there that we have to resolve. And Owen, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I guess I mean I'm just thinking or anticipating some questions I might get from others.
Yeah.
Like, does this, presumably the CSPs are still aimed, even with the Trillium delay, the CSPs, you're going to be looking for the same process, the same reasons to include something in a CSP. I'm worried, well, I'm
I hear
thinking
you.
about
The
people wanting
delay.
to bring function new functionality forward by pushing for it to be in a CSP as opposed to being waiting for the Trillium release, I guess is what I'm thinking.
So your concern is that there may be some requests to backport some things being worked on in Trillium to Sunflower?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I'm concerned necessarily that there'll be requests about that, but I guess I'll I can imagine that I might be asked that question.
Yeah, I think we all are going to get asked that question. I think some of us already have been asked that question, especially because of the length of time, the fact that we're only releasing twice a year versus three, the four times we used to. So I think some of us are already getting that question. I think, Owen, I personally think this is a larger question that we probably would need the whole hour to talk about in general. But I do think that, we should follow the same guidelines for what's eligible for a CSP. And if it turns out that it's, if that's a challenge, that, you're getting some pushback, then we should talk about it. And maybe it's a topic for the PC or the release management stakeholders group, but I think we should talk about it if it turns out that any of us are getting pressure to backport something that doesn't follow the CSP guidelines. That's my take, but I want to spend one more minute on this and then give the floor to Caitlin so she can talk about PC development prioritization. So whoever wants to take up, whoever or whoever's want to take up that one more minute, feel free.
Yeah, Halila, if you don't mind, just 2 cents here to what Owen asked just recently. In my humble opinion, if we are going to backport some features, we should follow the rules that no breaking changes, right? So no schema changes, no maintenance time, no migration, no reindexing. So if your features that you'd like to backport is not required maintenance time, that is fine. If it requires maintenance time, in this case, it should stay within Trillium. It's my just personal opinion. Because initial goal of CSPs, no maintenance time, just a quick update, because rollout of major release is quite like painful and time-wise operation.
Okay. So, thanks, Alexei. I'm sure, again, I'm sure we're all going to get some questions. So let's just, we'll continue to let's talk through the questions, and then at some point, I do think it's a larger conversation. All right. Okay, Caitlin, I'm going to skip the WolfCon note because it's already been posted in the chat in the Slack channel for POs. And I'm going to hand it off to Caitlin. Caitlin, the floor is yours to talk about PC development prioritization. So take it away.
Thank you very much. I'm popping a link into the chat. And can I steal the sharing privileges from you? Would that be all right?
Yes, you can.
You should be seeing the community priorities dashboard page. Does that? Great, good. Okay. So thanks for having me today. We have been kind of chugging along slowly on this effort to create a community prioritization dashboard through the PC for about 6 months. It's kind of had leaps and starts, and we've really wanted to directly engage you, the product owners, and I'm sorry that it took so long for us to get here. But for context, why are we doing this? One is that this aligns and was kind of a dependency for some of the goals that the PC set for this year after WolfCon last year. And specifically, there were a lot of goals around soliciting and analyzing community needs. There were also some goals around community development, which I think kind of ties in nicely with this. But we needed to set something a little more concrete, reachable, and something that we thought would be immediately valuable, definitely to us and to the SIGs that we support. I would like to be it to be useful to the community as a whole. So I want to talk a little bit about how you guys might fit into this. So just walking through this, actually, I'm going to look at the board first, and then we'll talk about why we're doing it. So here, what we've done here is we've asked for SIGs to self-report their top five development priorities. Didn't put a lot of structure on it. This was sort of an initial pass. This is what we got. And it adds up to kind of a handy little grid. Like, I actually think it's interesting to look at all of the priority ones and where you see things recurring. It's also interesting to see what one given SIG is choosing to surface. So this was sort of our initial pilot effort. We are now going back out to SIGs and asking them to finalize these with the goal of having this little grid ready to distribute before WolfCon, just to share with the community what the SIG's top five priorities are. Current thinking is to do this. This is also something I highlighted a couple of things that like your feedback on. We can come back to it in a minute. Twice annually, ideally to kind of sync up with the arc of a release. Since the releases move, I don't know if there's like a time that we could pin down that would be nice to have an updated community dashboard available and distribute it. my thinking is like far in advance of a release would make sense. We need to scope this just to Folio features and integration. We did get a couple like MetaDB requests that would be out of scope for this. We really need to focus on Folio. And we did get some things that were not UX prod. We got some things that were epics. We got some things that were bugs. We got some things that are in draft. In our initial outreach to the SIGs, one thing that we thought actually might be helpful is that if, you know, originally we were thinking these need to be in open status and ready, you know, dev ready, but actually in some cases, the SIGs might need help getting some of these out of draft, getting the resources to do the work to make sure that everything's elaborated so that work can proceed. So we're still kind of feeling out, you know, what should be on the dashboard, what should the requirements be. The goals here are, I think, pretty self-explanatory, but just to walk through it, we want SIGs to have a structured way to draw attention to their highest priority needs. After the rollout last year of some of the prioritization work, some SIGs are light years ahead of others in terms of articulating priorities, like acquisitions has their whole ranking in JIRA. Discovery is a new SIG, and this was their first time sitting down and talking about what their priorities are. They also don't have a PO to work with. We've found that it's useful for SIGs to have insight into what other SIGs are asking for, to kind of identify potential commonalities, but also dependencies or conflicts, and hopefully get the help that they need to make these things happen. It's not always development resources. Sometimes it's refining those use cases, working through the technical dependencies. All of that needs to happen for any of this to move forward. From the PC's perspective, we just want to understand the community's highest priority needs and also be part of communicating that out to the community. We think that we can have a role in shining some light on areas that need additional work, but also potentially facilitating cooperation among community members that might be in a position to partner up to make some of this stuff happen. Our reach goal that I think we're not moving on right now, I would love to know if you think that this is something we should prioritize. We talked about a second step to all of this, where we would, as a PC, create a single rank list of all of the community priorities so that there is one like PC endorsed list. These are the things that we would like to see happen. Right now, I think that is not going to happen before WolfCon. And I would love to hear you guys' input on whether that should happen at all. For community members, we want them to understand where the needs are. It's not always totally transparent when you join the community. You don't necessarily know where the gaps are and how those might relate to your needs or not. So with that, does anyone have questions about this feedback? Love to open it up. How can we help you with this? How should product owners fit in?
Caitlin, I know this exercise has been going on, across the SIGs. What are some insights that the PC has gained from this exercise?
I think the top two things that, well, so I'd say one is the finding was a process thing. And that is this issue of some of these things being in draft or being epics. Like, I think that in some cases, just the analysis that it takes to get something ready for development, and kind of digging deeper on what the actual priorities are, can be really helpful. And I think the Discovery SIG visited us last week, and they really needed help like navigating the process. Thomas Trout was there and helped kind of walk them through what they needed to do next. So I think that there's just like a facilitation piece here that could be useful. But also for me, I was interested to see, gosh, a long time ago, I was working fundraising and we used to talk about the panda problem, where like the World Wildlife Foundation always puts pandas on their fundraising, right? Because like everybody loves pandas and wants to save the pandas. But in some cases, like what really might need attention is like the hammer-headed longworm or something that no one's going, you know, like the technical debt and the like the sometimes kind of the meat and potatoes backend features that might need attention aren't necessarily going to show up on this list. So that was just sort of an observation. And we don't really have a mechanism to do that. I wonder if maybe that could be part of our engagement with POs on this. There were trends that we saw. Item sorting shows up on this several times. So like there are things that clearly are shared priorities that there might be opportunities to bring more light to and maybe get more institutions kind of working together on. So I would say those are my big three observations so far. We're pretty new at this. Joe?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment about draft state. Different teams use different statuses for different things. So I know for some people or like some teams, when we are like when we're writing requirements, like when we have an understanding of what's needed, but haven't written all the user stories, we'll put it in draft. And then the next step after draft is in refinement. Other teams I've worked with, that initial state is open before they move it. So there's not really consistency. Some states use draft, some states use open. It's kind of an internal thing. So I wouldn't necessarily take draft as like draft is draft and open is open. Some of it is just internal team, how we do things. And I can really only speak to acquisitions, but in general, for our SIG, the way it works is first it goes on the conversation board in Confluence. So the implementers' topics. We discuss it in there. And then once we have an understanding of what is the general requirement, what are you actually asking for? At that point, we create the JIRA ticket in whatever it ought to be. And then we create that in draft, but we already have a basic understanding of what you're actually looking for that's been discussed in the SIG. So for us, even by the time it goes into draft, there's already a pretty good understanding of what are we talking about. And then when we get to the user stories, we can do some validation there. And again, that's just the way the acquisitions works, and other teams might work in other ways. So really the PC feedback that I would give is I would not necessarily be put off by draft, because like our acquisitions priority one, submit orders via automated email integration, that's actually very well understood. And the requirements are well understood. It's just that the development team is responsible for writing the individual user stories and getting it dev ready. And I understand they're doing that, but this is actually being done by Leipzig, so I don't know the specific details of that. But that's just an example, is that it is understood, it is defined. It's just how the development team is managing it in Jira.
So maybe a good way to plug in, I have a related question, but what you're saying makes me think that as part of this process, we should be, the SIGs need to be reviewing with their product owners to determine maybe what needs to happen to get these top five, like what the gap is, whether it's like the Jira status or something else is needed. Maybe just identifying what the remaining work is to get these ready for to be picked up should resources be available. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think the most important aspect really is, you know, each SIG kind of manages itself. Mm-hmm. And I mean that's the beauty of it is it is kind of self-organizing, but the really important thing and what really works for acquisitions is there is a lot of conversation between SIGs and the POs. And you know, there are a couple or three PO team or like teams and POs that work in that space, and we kind of work with each other on that. But there's a lot of community conversation, and there's an understanding of what people want to talk about and what's important. And that's really the big thing, is that there's a lot of ongoing interplay there.
Mm-hmm. When we did the first iteration of this, I reached out to the SIG conveners. I've been told on multiple different ways that I reached out to the wrong people, but I'm curious, you know, if the outreach is going to the SIGs, whether it's through the conveners or the PC liaisons, or, you know, like if we're talking to them, what is the correct point for us to engage you? And I'm wondering if any of your SIGs talked to you about these, or were they a surprise? I see Owen.
Yeah, I was going to comment on the point that Joe was discussing, but I'll answer your point as well, to say that certainly from my perspective, yes, these were things discussed at the SIG meetings, and I was fully involved in those discussions and helped get us to the point where we had for the ERM list, the list of priorities here that you've got up on the screen at the moment.
Excellent. And
as Joe said, the SIGs work differently to each other, kind of by design. And I think that, as you've noted, not all SIGs have a relevant PO. So, you know, that it can be quite messy, I think. And I want to also say, like, from my perspective, although like I'm fully behind, like I really support the list of priorities that has been agreed here for ERM, totally behind. They all make a lot of sense to me. I think they would all be great additions to the functionality of Folio, but that just does not mean that any of them will get worked on, because the way the funding works is not the same as what the community as a whole wants. So if we take, for instance, UX Prod 5334, which focuses on the eHoldings integration with agreements, that isn't like, there's a subset of the community that really wants that, and it's really understandable why. But if they're not directly funding that work to happen, and most of the work that is happening in, certainly on my side of ERM, there is additional work on eHoldings separately that's funded by EBSCO, but the work that say in agreements is mainly funded by GBV. And while that does incorporate things that are not necessarily GBV priorities, it does focus on GBV priorities. They're not just putting money in a pot and saying, well, do what you want with this. They are saying, here's money to do these things. And so these priorities are tricky from my perspective because they are, you know, they make a great deal of sense. I understand the community wants them, but the question about how we fund them is fundamental to getting anything done here. And I think it's a bad idea to have these list of priorities. I think it's a very good idea, but I do also think we have to be realistic about what happens next. And unfortunately, you know, none of these are currently, even though the highest priority for the community, none of these things are on a current plan to happen. Now that could change, and part of them going on the list is that might encourage that to change, because, you know, people will. But yeah, again, just trying to be realistic about the process of prioritization, the process of getting things done, is not joined up. So that's a challenge, I think, for the product council and for the community as a whole. Like, these priorities and the funding are not things that are by definition linked.
Thank you for that, Owen. And I know that there's a lot of definitely like kind of baggage around that dynamic, and I'd like to invert it, if I may. As I stated before, this effort comes out of some planning for that the PC did after WolfCon last year. But also I think that like I, as a community member, see a need for this. Because without a stated, like an official place for me to access the highest priority development features, there's no way, A, for me as a community member to like quickly understand, there's no way to support additional multiple agreement lines based on e-holdings, right? Unless I'm like immediately deeply involved with that SIG. So that this helps surface some of these points, but also, should funding come available at my institution, I would love to have a way to identify the areas where my institution's needs align best with the community, because that allows me to invest our money in a way that benefits the greatest number of people. And without a list like this, and or a dashboard, we talked about the single rank list is like another order of analysis away from this, but even just having this surfaced here, that allows me to quickly understand that, for instance, folks who have worked with us know that sorting items is important to us. Looks like that's also important to the community. So that's something where I know that our needs align, and that would be a good investment. I hope that the PC can facilitate conversations between institutions that are in a position to fund Element. And we don't really know what that would look like, but we've had people suggest almost like a matchmaking role. Like, hey, you do a lot of this. You do a lot of this. Maybe you guys can work on funding some of this together. But the precondition to that is having the list.
Yeah, so I'll try and just reply briefly to that. I mean, I agree with a lot of what you've said there. And I definitely agree with the latter points you were making about the targeting of funding. I mean, I strongly believe that surfacing this kind of requirement and making it alongside making it clear what is and isn't already funded, which perhaps is missing from this at the moment, is a way of then potentially prompting or helping organize that funding. So totally behind that. I want to just pick up on a couple of the other points though. And one is to say, I think that in terms of looking at this and saying, oh, well, you know, I can see that maybe this is missing. I think that it's very difficult, and maybe this is about the way we write these things, but I wouldn't necessarily feel qualified to interpret some of these headings as like what is and isn't exactly lacking in the system. And I'd be a bit wary of it being used in that way. And the question of what you could achieve, the only issue with this in terms of the funding is the question about what level at which these are aimed, because one of the things we see obviously is that sometimes small improvements that maybe wouldn't be very expensive that perhaps are not at the top of anybody's list but are more easily fundable by small contributions or smaller contributions versus larger ticket items, which, you know, are seen as extremely important but will require a lot of funding to happen. And I think that this dashboard as it is, and I'm not sure how, you know, it is challenging to get to this point, because like, how do we even start to assess how much it's going to cost before we have resource to start doing any work on them? But it's like, it worries me that like, it's hard to know which of these are achievable with a certain amount of money and whether that's the right way, like get it, like getting the most value from that investment. That's the thing, right? Is that the investment available and the value you can get from it won't necessarily be the same as the absolutely top ticket items for the community. Because if you can do 10 smaller things for one big thing, maybe that would work out better. And that's like how we surface that, I don't know. But I think that there's a risk that a dashboard like this draws focus away from that, the detail, which the SIGs discuss, and is probably where there's the there's that nuance of like, how would we spend our resource most effectively across all of the issues that we currently have.
So I'm gonna, so hopefully it's okay, Caitlin, for me to jump in here. This is just my perspective. I think this is a very good start in transparency, understanding where the SIGs feel that they would like for us to do work. Is it going to address everything? No, it's not. But I do think this is a good start. And I guess, and I'm only speaking for myself. When I look at this, I say, oh, okay. Well, these are things that the community, the SIGs have said are important to them. How does that tie into, my backlog, or, what are some of the requirements I need to think about when I, I'm working on something that might be relevant, might be a little bit related? How can I, move some of this along, even though, from a funding standpoint, the funding may not align directly with these priorities. So that's the way I kind of have looked at this list. I think there's probably, Caitlin and the product council probably have a lot more to discuss about some of the things that have been brought up about enhancement requests or other things. I understand, Owen, enhancement requests that folks get, or maybe some of the things that come up in those individual SIG meetings, and maybe there is another process that needs to be, maybe there's some other way to kind of expose those more, but I do think this is a good start, Owen, you always bring up great points. So don't take it as I'm saying, hey, Rowan, look a different way. It's just, I just want to make sure that given that we have to have a few more other folks speak, that everyone understands the intent, I believe, of this dashboard, and also give Caitlin the information, the insights that she needs to help move this forward. Now I'm going back on mute. I'm going to lower my hand too.
I think we're probably at a good stopping point. I mean, my goal for today was for all of you to like understand that this is going on and know that we want your input. And this is going to be iterative. Like, it's not going to be perfect the first time. I do want to get something nailed down, and I want to distribute it before WolfCon so that people can talk about it, you know? And so there might be work to do after that. I took a couple notes here that I'd like to continue maybe engaging you guys about, probably on Slack, maybe follow up in a couple months or something, but indicating what is and isn't funded, I think can be tricky, but is also important. And I'm not sure how to do that. Also incorporating sizing into this, like when are features sized, I think could make a huge difference. And that might also be part of, like, to your point, I think it was Joe said all of the different teams work differently, but I think those are two things that could make a huge difference. And also, Clela, I really like your idea of having a separate way to track enhancement requests. That's something we've talked about a little bit. Like, how do we talk about things that are needed before their UX prods and kind of track things that might be coming? We will think about that and maybe come back to you again for comment on that one. So I will follow up via Slack. And thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Caitlin. And I think we also, as POs, probably need to discuss ways of cleaning up some general backlogs that we have. I mean, the UX prod features backlog, to be blunt, is crazy. Uh-huh. And we need, as POs, maybe there's some ideas we have to, we can work, can suggest to the PC and to SIGs on helping us clean that up. Mm-hmm. And I think that also helps with, you know, some of the things that were brought up today.
Man, we would love to partner with you, or like, you know, to support you in that, whatever you need. And I think sometimes it's hard to just like clean up a Jira because it's so mm-hmm. much. But if we can ever help by setting a goal, say like, we need to be able to add a size to these dashboard features to help you focus some of that, let us know if that would be helpful.
Okay, thank you. All right, Alexi, so that we can give Tara 15 minutes, you have 2 minutes.
Okay.
Can you do this in 2 minutes?
Let me try to be as fast as possible.
All right.
Okay. So let me share the screen. Okay, hope you can see it. So what's the idea? I just want just to start kick off some kind of conversation, or maybe just getting some feedback from you, just hear your ideas. Hope you know this table, right? So it's quite huge table with plenty of information, with just more than 200 of models in it, which it describes some different aspects. Just try to make sure that we can easily find it. Thing turns out that like editing of this table is really tough. It's lagging, and it maybe even not be saved by some reason, and so on and so forth. So also it's quite not representative, right? So, and we start thinking about idea how to improve it. Right. So one idea, right? So first move, for example, this information to Google spreadsheet, right? So not to store it and make it flat, right? So one row should just a particular point, like project, module, team, product owner, module within repo and other characteristics of the module, maintainer, and so on and so forth. So just to make sure that all of the structure is flat, there is no any like blank cells, and so on and so forth. Yeah, so also based on this representation, right, so we prepared such visualization. It's just a first draft, right? So it represents all our modules across the different applications, right? So we're going to add something like a search or whatever we need, just some additional information about product owner, team link, and so on and so forth, because right now it's just a draft, right? So here, by clicking, it could be visible what applications are this team responsible, or in what applications teams modules are placed, right? So because right now we've got not only different application set, but also Eureka applications. Yeah, so, and here by clicking on applications, you can deep dive and review what modules are included here. So it's just a first idea. We're going to evaluate and improve it. Yeah, because it was really, really first draft. I don't know, maybe 15 minutes work to visualize this. But if you have also some ideas how to make work with this metrics more suitable, more sustainable, feel free to share with me your thoughts. Yeah, so sorry, Khalila, not 2 minutes, but three. Yeah, that's it from my side.
Yeah, that's okay, Alexei. I'm joking. But yeah, no, thank you, Alexei. Anybody, I mean, I think we can all agree that that Confluence page is very, very slow.
Exactly.
Owen puts in chat, you know, added in chat, integrations with Jira and GitHub might be helpful. I mean, has that been considered?
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, and just I'm just collecting ideas. Yeah, so how to do it. And first of all, yeah, we were thinking with Mikita, and Mikita initially suggested to store some all the structure within JSON file, within repo, but I asked him how to edit it, right? How to edit it, yeah, because spreadsheet, Google spreadsheets are really lightweight, right? So without lagging, without other stuff. Yeah, so but editing JSON file can be quite tricky for people who do not have knowledge how to work with GitHub, with repos, and with other stuff. Yeah,
but I think Owen's got a good point. Like, you know, we're forced to update Jira, we're forced to update GitHub. Well, force might not be the, maybe I shouldn't say that word forced, but you know, we're in the systems all the time. We have that, this is where we manage our projects. In both of these systems. So I think that's an excellent idea to consider if there's a way to leverage Jira and GitHub to do this too. And I know at some point Francesca and Stefan had some requests for enhancements as far as the information on that page. So Alexei, I'll share that with you. They shared that in a previous meeting. So, if you're thinking of redesigning this, I definitely would like their suggestions to be considered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, feel free to share with me this.
We can also come back to you directly, but it's more or less also already. So direct links and keeping it updated, I think, were the most important things. But we can, happily come back to you with input because that was really a high request also from our developers.
Okay,
but yeah, thanks. That already looks really good, and it's cool to have new approaches on this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other feedback? Okay. Thanks, Alexei.
You're welcome.
Era, we have 10 minutes left. So, do you want to start to review, or would you rather be the first person on the agenda for the 10th? What would you prefer?
It's totally up to you. If people want 10 minutes back, that's totally fine, and we can come back. We're hoping to focus on like four issues, so maybe we could get to those today. I don't know, what do you think?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah.
Let me go ahead and share my screen. Okay. All right. So thanks for inviting us / me back. So for those of you who might not remember, we joined your meeting in January and we talked about the cross-app SIGs priorities. Just a reminder, the cross-app SIG is one of the weird SIGs. So we have issues that we own and sort of like guidelines and ideas that we own, but the actual work to get those ideas executed belongs to the actual like subject SIGs where the issues belong. So in this first example, the cross-app SIGs priority is that search across Folio apps should be case insensitive. That will result in a bunch of sort of like subtickets that all live in apps where that's not the case. And it's up to that SIG if they want to prioritize getting the actual work done. So we are really focused on like making sure that it's possible to do the work because the JIRAs are complete and that we have a way to sort of track what the situation is across Folio. But again, like the actual work sort of lives with the SIG. So that's how we're weird. So when I asked folks what their priorities were for this round, our priorities are pretty much exactly the same as they were in January. There was one issue that we were able to close because the permissions involved will be resolved by Eureka, but everything else is sort of in the same order. Specifically, folks were really concerned with the first four issues on this list, so I focused on sort of breaking these out, and everything that's in gray is just exactly the same, so we don't need to worry about that for now. I noted that last time we met, we wanted these tickets to have additional specificity. We tried to do that as a SIG, and it turned out to be really challenging for some of these ideas. We started with wildcards, which was much more complicated than I thought. I very naively was like, oh, we'll knock this out in a meeting, and it turned out to not be the case. So understanding what's going on in Folio itself turned out to be like quite a bit of work. So I would love more feedback on what would be useful to see, but maybe it would be best if we just sort of looked at these issues. So for this first one, we have search across Folio app should be case insensitive. It is a draft, which perhaps is a problem, perhaps is not. I'm not sure at this point. But it seems to have been at least partially resolved by issues that are coming in Ramson. So we do still have the issue where it's hard to figure out and link up where the work is happening. That's kind of an us as a SIG problem. It's possible that this is still an issue elsewhere in the community, but the only way I can think of to figure that out would be to go through and test every single field. So I don't know if doing something like that would be helpful. This is what that could look like. This is a list of everywhere that you could possibly search in Folio as of January. And a question of, is it case sensitive? Is there already a JIRA? I don't know if that would help. When we met last time, there were notes on the issue itself that kind of indicated that the work is actually with the POs. So I'm not sure if there's something else that the SIG can do to help move this one forward. So I guess I'll pause my long monologue there.
So for this one, Christine is on the call. We did do, like you said, work was done at least with the inventory and mark authority apps to support this related to insensitive searching. Around 4547, right? 4547, okay. So I guess the question is, if I guess the is it so I guess this epic probably should link to that story to show that some work's been done in this area, and I guess then the question becomes, if there is a way that we can find out without having everyone test every single field, whether case insensitivity is supported or not. I would think, because everyone else is, there's only two apps using Elasticsearch at this time, I believe. I would think there's a way for us to ask our teams to just verify. This is going to be me not being super techie, but wouldn't this be like a setting in like Postgres or something like that? Search case insensitivity. I mean, if anyone could tell me either, okay, you're on the right track, or no, you don't know what you're talking about, that'd be really helpful. But I would think we could all go to our teams and ask that question.
I hope that's the case. I would love for the answer not to be, please go test 280 fields in Folio. But if it has to be that, that's fine too. We just want to make sure that it's completely documented so that we can like know that everything's been captured and then we can just watch it and stop worrying about it.
Okay. So maybe an action item for this one, and maybe if you want to edit this, Tara, so I remember, because I do forget nowadays certain things. Maybe it's enough to ask POs to ask their dev leads, is our search enabled for case to search to be case insensitive? And I guess I could also ask Julian. Julian might be able to tell me too. I mean, does it POs any concerns with asking your dev leads? All right, I don't hear anything, Tara. So that's what we got to do before the next time we meet with you.
We'll just put a yes with an exclamation point there. Okay, that sounds great. So it sounds like there's nothing that the SIG can do to really move this one forward or expand it in any way. It really is just work with the POs. Okay.
I think so, unless anybody, I mean, please, someone raise your hand and say, no, there's another way to do it. But I do think we also need to update that Epic because it's in progress, at least, because of the work that was done with the inventory and authority apps.
Yeah. And oops. Oh, apparently there's a preview feature here. One of the things that we talked about was wanting to make sure that we can like see what's happening with these ones. And so it would be great to sort of like collect the issues together here and have a sense of like when this sort of parent issue can be closed down. But the thing is, this one, the big ticket ones, like the barcode sensitivity, those have actually been handled. So I don't know that we're going to find any more. So it's like, this is a lot of work for something that might already be solved, you know? Yeah. So there are three more issues on here and two more minutes. What would you like to talk about?
Anybody have any, does anyone want to pick one to talk about?
Please don't let it be wild cards.
Okay, since you said not wild cards, we'll skip it. And I guess the next one is Stripes 4546.
Mm-hmm. So,
go ahead.
So this one doesn't have any comments. It seems like it is sort of understood what the issue is. And so the only question that I had here was, again, like, what is needed in order to move this forward? Do we need to analyze what's actually happening in Folio? Is there a way, again, that the POs can ask their dev leads, like, whether this is a setting?
This is just trailing, what, leading and trailing white spaces, right?
It says that. I do note that the issue has what you might not characterize as leading and trailing white spaces, but extra white spaces in between.
And is it tied to searches behave differently? The only, I don't know about you guys, the only one I'm concerned about, and I think Library of Congress is still on the call, is the data is saved with or without leading or trailing white spaces. Because in some cases, that is, I mean, that you have, you know, it needs to have those, the leading and trailing white spaces sometimes for certain identifiers.
I'd be happy to take this back to our team to look at, to see if we have conflicting requirements. I think that internal spaces is what I'm familiar with, and not so much with the leading and trailing. So Tara, we will be in contact with you with use cases or conflicts.
Okay, so it sounds like maybe we didn't catch everything the first time and we should go back and make sure that this is really what the community agrees on. That sounds great. It's 12:01 and I hate keeping people late, so I think I will stop sharing.
Okay. Before, if you guys have a few more minutes, I see that Owen is typing some stuff here. I should know this, but feeling like this has the button. Okay. So I am not sure of that, Owen, especially across all the apps, if we're handling keywords the same way. So I have, Sarah, as far as a follow-up, you know, Caitlin said Library of Congress will talk about this, but I'll bring this up I'll bring it up with Stripes Force, because maybe there's a front end thing that can be done, but this also could be a discussion that we have with our dev leads to find out if there's some, at least with searching, if there's something we can do. I don't know what we can do about the data storage piece. That seems like a bigger question that probably does require some requirements analysis, but maybe at least we could talk to Stripes Force and then maybe our dev leads about if they know of any way to handle, from a search perspective, leading and trailing spaces besides normalization. You know, just basically just have, you know, searching, normalizing the query. All right. I'm going to stop here. But does anybody want to have the last word? Okay, well then I guess I'll have last word. Tara, Caitlin, Alexi, thank you. Owen, 100% about search. And everybody have a good rest of your day and week, and I'll talk to you over Slack. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.